It's good that we're able to be here this morning to worship God together. And we'll thank Sterling for, he kind of, at the last minute, was kind of got to lead singing for us. We had some that were out and were sick and couldn't do it. And so we're always glad when he's here. And he's one of ours from the very beginning. And so we thank him for that, that he's willing to work and to do those things. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, John says there, "For whatsoever is begotten of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." Now, God expects his people to be victorious. And we think about that. The Bible records many victories, but it also records many defeats of God's people because they had rejected God or turned away from him for one thing or another. But God is a God of victory. And you think about the way we live in this life, and if we're faithful to God, God has promised, no matter how much sin we commit, if we repent, if we come back to God, his grace and mercy will forgive, and we will be victorious in this life and for all of eternity. And in Psalms chapter 98 and verse 1, David says, "Oh, sing unto Jehovah a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm has wrought salvation for him." In other words, God's power is with us if we're going to be faithful to him, if we make that decision to continue faithful in our service to him. And our battle is not a physical battle, but it's a spiritual one. If you go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul writing there says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down the arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity unto obedience of Christ. In other words, we have to submit ourselves completely to God. That's how we become victorious in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul there says, "Put on the whole armor of God." And he explains what that armor is, and it's a symbol. And the symbolism was from the Roman soldier that put on his armor from head to toe, was covered. And in doing so, he went forth to do battle. Well, that's what we do spiritually. We put on the whole spiritual armor of God and go out and do battle. And yes, sometimes we're going to fall short. But God says when we go through the battle, we hold on, we're faithful to the end, then we're going to be victorious and have eternal life, because God is going to be victorious over all of his enemies. You read through the book of Revelation sometime, and yes, sometimes it's hard to understand some of those things, but the overall picture of the book of Revelation is the battle of good versus evil for all time, and God is going to win. Christ is going to win the battle, and we are going to win if we belong to him. That's his promise. So how does faith enable us to gain victory in the great warfare, the spiritual warfare that's set before us? Well, we have an example when we go back to the Old Testament, to Joshua, in Joshua chapter 5. And we look at that, the example that Joshua had in his victory over Jericho. And we look at that, and we find that God laid out the plan for him. And we're going to look at that a little bit this morning. Joshua was ready to listen to the word of God. You go all the way back to the time when Moses was leading the people, and Joshua was the close helper of Moses all during that time. He was there with him. He was the messenger. He was a soldier and all of those things for Moses during that time. And so Joshua was chosen from God to be the successor to Moses, to the leader of the people. and there to lead them into the promised land. Moses could not go into the promised land because he sinned. But God raised up Joshua to lead the people. And in Joshua chapter 5, after God on several occasions in the beginning of the book of Joshua told him over and over again, be strong, be courageous. He says, wherever the sole of your foot goes, I've given you that land. So in Joshua 5 and verse 13, it says, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or are you our adversaries? So he said, no, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped him and said, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal from off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Now notice, it's very similar to Moses in the wilderness when he saw the burning bush and the Lord spoke to him and said, take off your shoes, for this is holy ground where you are. Well, the one that identified himself as the commander of the army of the Lord. Some speculate that this was Jesus Christ in one of his many times he appeared upon the earth to his people. And notice, Joshua bowed down and worshiped him, and he accepted that. And so there is certainly some truth in that idea. But he says he is the prince, the commander of the Lord's army. So Joshua was the physical commander of the Lord's army there. But here is the true commander, the one that was going to give Joshua the victory over the city of Jericho. Joshua fell on his faith and on his face and said, what do you say to me, Lord? In other words, what do you want me to do? In other words, whatever God says, I'm going to do it. And that was an attitude Joshua had all the way through his life. From the very beginning when we're introduced to him in the book of Exodus as the helper of Moses along the way, Joshua had an unquestioning faith. When God told Moses when they went to the promised land the first time and said, send spies in, well, it was only Joshua and Caleb that brought back the good report. And they, after everybody said, we can't take the land, we're like grasshoppers in their side and they're giants, we can't possibly win. Joshua and Caleb said, let us go in and take the land, for we are well able to overcome it. Not because of who they were, but because God was with them. But the victorious faith comes from God and from His Word to us. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 10, when Samuel was still a young boy, God called him to be a prophet. And then he came to his the one he was under there in the tabernacle and said, you call me. And he did that three times. He said, no, I didn't call you. Go back. And when you hear the voice again, this is what you say. He said, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. From that time, Samuel was the great prophet that he became. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In other words, if we have an ear to hear, it's more than just hearing the message with our physical hearing. It is hearing with an attitude of believing and willing to follow. And that's what Joshua was doing. God made him the leader of Israel for a purpose. And that was because Joshua was up to the task. It might seem a daunting task for someone like Joshua to take the place of Moses, the greatest man of the time, the one who, through whom God gave the law to Israel, the greatest leader of his time, and all of those things. And Joshua might have been overcome in thinking of trying to take Moses' place. But God told him, like I said before, over and over again through the end of the book of Deuteronomy and in Numbers and Deuteronomy and on into the book of Joshua, He said, be strong, be of good courage. He says, I'm with you all the way. Joshua learned that victory was conditioned upon the idea that God is going to give you what you have to do, what is your responsibility, and you have to carry it out to the best of your ability. And it was going to be an accomplished fact, and as it would have been when Joshua and Caleb went into the land in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. They came and back and said, let's go and take the land. God has given it to us, which God told them he had. But they didn't believe. Because of that, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 more years. And finally, all that generation that came out of Egypt that was over the age of 20 died in the wilderness, except Joshua and Caleb. They were allowed, even Moses and Aaron could not go in. And yet through a gift from God, the conquering of Jericho would depend upon Israel fulfilling what God required of them. And that's a good example to us. We have to do whatever God requires under the new covenant to believe him and to obey him and follow him every day we live. A man's part is doing what God has commanded to the best of our ability. And faith is completed by our action. And it has to be a faith that motivates us to action to be pleasing to God. In Joshua chapter 6 and verse 3, it says, you shall compass the city and all the men of war. Now the same later was a thing that was told to Gideon in Judges chapter 7 and verse 21. Gideon had kind of a similar thing. He was he was against an army so large he could not possibly overcome it. But God said, you with 300, he was going to overcome all the great armies against the people of Israel. And in Judges chapter 7 and verse 21, God told why he was able to do it. It's because every man stood in his place. Those 300 stood exactly as God commanded, and God gave them a great victory over an army so much greater than themselves. But God was there with him. He was there with Joshua because Joshua was willing to do what God commanded. Joshua had to be told God's will for Israel. Now, God's pattern for conquering Jericho and all of Israel was given there. First of all, they had to cross the Jordan River. And so they had to have faith to do that. Well, God, when the priests carried the Ark of the Covenant on the poles that was there, when they set foot into the Jordan River, the river divided. The water was stopped, and they went across on dry land, just like at the Red Sea. That was God's sign to them. He's going to give them the land. They had to go and take the city of Jericho first. Then they had to conquer all of the land of Canaan and the surrounding areas. And then they had to divide it by casting lots to the different tribes of the people of Israel. That was God's plan. In a nutshell, if you will, that was God's plan. But it had to begin with Joshua. Joshua had to learn God's commandments from for the people. And today, we have to learn with the same kind of diligence what God requires of you and me, to study and to learn and to be knowledgeable of the things that God has given to us. It takes time, it takes effort, and the conditions of salvation are based upon our faith, which the Word of God gives to us. The book of Romans says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes study to know what God wants. Now in Joshua's case, God spoke to him directly to tell him what he wanted him to do. But Joshua still had to obey. We have to do the same. Joshua and Israel had to be loyal and true to the commandments of God, even to the point of loving the conditions that were set forth. And you might think about this for a moment. They did not always understand what God had in store for them, but they were willing to accept it and believe and obey what God commanded. What kind of military strategy would it have normally been to go and march around the city and blow the trumpets and shout? Well, that's what God told them to do. God told them the first day, you go and march around the city. And then the second day, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, and the sixth, you march one time around the city. And then, on the seventh day, you march around the city seven times. And when you have completed that, the priests will blow the trumpets, the people will shout, and the walls of Jericho will fall down. Now again, that completely destroys man's wisdom and man's understanding. No military leader would have decided to do that in order to conquer a city at the time. But God says, you do what I command you, and it will be done. His plan for victory was given to Joshua. It had to be obeyed. And not simply obeyed, but obeyed with love and concern and faith by the people of Israel in order to receive the blessings of God. We cannot decide how we want to be saved and somehow hope that God will be all right with that. We have to submit to His will and our life and our hearts and our minds. We must accept as they did, as Israel did under Joshua, including obeying Christ, confessing Him as our Lord and Savior, repenting of our sins, being buried with Him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. But why do we have to do that? Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5 says, even as Moses warned of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for, see, he said to him, that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown you in the mount. So God gave Moses a pattern for the building of the tabernacle, the place of worship for the people of Israel, which was going to last about 400 years before the temple was built in Jerusalem. But he says, make sure you build it according to the pattern which I've shown you. God has shown us a pattern also to believe and obey the gospel and remain faithful. We go back to Joshua chapter 6 and the thing that God said in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 3. He says, you shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And seven priests shall bear the seven trumpets of the ram's horns before the ark. And the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Excuse me. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast of the ram's horns, and when you shall hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. Now that took a lot of faith for them to do that, because that's what God commanded them to do, and they were willing to do it. And again, that went against all kinds of military ideas of man's way of conquering a city. But God gave them victory because they obeyed Him to the best of their ability. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57, Paul said there, thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God gives the victory because He is the one that allowed Christ to pay the price for our sin. If we believe Him, we obey Him, and we hold on to that faith throughout our life, we're going to be given eternal life. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. We couldn't possibly deserve or earn it because we're sinful creatures. But by the love and grace and the mercy of God, we will be forgiven. Now, you don't think maybe about the grace of God in respect to the walls of Jericho falling down. But that's precisely what it was. It was done by the grace of God. if Joshua and his army had to go in and take the land house by house, take the city house by house, there's no telling how many would have been killed doing that. But God said, you do it my way, and you'll conquer the city. I'll give it to you. And he says, I have given it to you. Also, Israel lived out the Lord's commands. They obeyed without murmuring or complaining, which is almost the first for them when they finally came. In fact, if you read through the book of Joshua in particular, you'll find the first and the second generation, the second and third generation of the people that came out from Egypt. The second and third were the two most faithful generations of the Israelite people from all of the Old Testament, because they had the influence of what was right, and they saw what God did for them. When God commanded, because the Lord commanded, they did what he said. We look again at Joshua chapter 6, Joshua chapter 6 and verse 6. So as then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let the seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord. So it was, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of the ram's horns, the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant, and the Lord followed them. And so we find that they did exactly what God commanded. When God said, this is what you're to do, they did it. You turn, go down now to verse 16. And the seventh time, this is the seventh day, it happened that when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, and it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make camp of Israel a curse and a trouble. And so God forbid them to take any of the spoil of the city that was to be left. Now you read on in Joshua and you'll find that somebody did that. And because he did it, they lost the next battle. But we find, of course, they did what God commanded. And anything less would have not been total obedience to the will of God. Anything less would not have sufficed for them to conquer the city of Jericho. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30 says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been compassed for 7 days. Again, they had to do exactly as God commanded, and they did. The walls fell down. They conquered the city. Same principle applied to Naaman the leper in 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman was the captain of the guard, the commanding general of the armies of Syria, and he had leprosy, and he was sent to Elisha the prophet, and Elisha the prophet didn't even go out to see him. He was very angry about it, and he said, well, I thought he would come out, and the great prophet, and wave his arms over the leprosy and pray to his God, and I would be healed. He says, go and the prophet Elisha said, go and dip 7 times in the Jordan River and you'll be cleansed. It wasn't until he did exactly as God said that healing was brought upon him. And he dipped 7 times in the Jordan River and his flesh was made complete and whole again. The principle applies, of course, to us also. And Israel expected the victory, for they had done the things that God commanded. Go back to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 20. It says, so the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, that the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Even the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. And so exactly as God said. And he also delivered Rahab the harlot, who, of course, was charged and told that she would be saved because she had taken care of the spies that Joshua sent into the city. And exactly that happened to her. She was delivered. In fact, you read in the book of Matthew, and she is in the lineage of Jesus himself. But they faithfully obeyed the things that God commanded. And they joined with obedience, with faith, and in doing so, that's how we overcome, through Christ. Now notice the same principle. You go over to Matthew chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7 and beginning at verse 21. Matthew 7, verse 21. Jesus says there, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and cast out demons, and done many mighty works in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity." In other words, if we don't do what God says and what Christ says, we can't simply say, Lord, save me, and he's going to do it. We have to be willing to believe and to obeying it. Obeying God's will. Saying it is not enough. No matter how much we say we believe, we have to back that up by our actions and by our obedience. James chapter 2 and verse 26. James says, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead." Faith is a faith that motivates us to an action. We're not saved by our own good works. We can't be. It's impossible. But we are saved by our faith through doing the things God has commanded. And by his grace and mercy, he forgives. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, we have the greatest example of all. It says, "Though he," that's Christ, "though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became unto all them that obey him the author of eternal salvation." Jesus Christ rendered perfect obedience to the will of God, his Father. And in so doing, he became our Lord and our Savior when we believe and we obey him. Joshua and the Israelites understood the concept, even if they heard those things specifically and maybe didn't understand why God commanded what he did. But they knew that God would take care of them because they had seen him do it so many times before in the wilderness. Were Joshua and the Israelites surprised when God gave them victory? I don't really think so. I think they maybe been surprised at the magnitude of the victory they received. But they weren't surprised that God did this because he had done this for them again, like I said before, the second and on into the third generation from the ones that came out of Egyptian slavery were the most faithful group of people in all of the history of the Israelite nation from that day forward. But we look at this and we have to look at what our reaction is to that. What are we supposed to do? Well, we have to listen to what God says, as Joshua did. We have to listen as they did and do what God commands. It is his final authority. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, "So seeing his divine power, that his divine power has granted us unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and witness and virtue." In other words, notice, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has revealed it in his word, and it continues every day we live. And if we follow that, we're going to have eternal life. Because he says, through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. In other words, by God's will, we are called to be servants of God. What are the conditions of his blessing? To learn his will by faith, be willing to do something about it, believe and obey the gospel of Christ, which is always open to us to do, and then remain faithful. Trust him in every day we live. In Joshua 6 and verse 27, "So the Lord," says, "So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was in all the land. Joshua became famous throughout the world that was around him because of what God did for him. But simply because he submitted to the will of God faithfully. We can do the same. We can do the same and receive the blessings of God now and for all of eternity. But we have to make the decision in our life. Today, if you need to come to the Lord, and to this invitation, won't you do so now as we stand, as we sing.